Welcome to Women in WordPress, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Welcome to episode 4 of Women in WordPress. Today we're joined by Felicia Ceballos, a content producer for WPMU Dev. She's also an advocate for sustainable living and makes vegan soap. Welcome to the show today, Felicia.
Hi, everybody.
Yay, hi.
And of course, I'm joined today with Tracy and Angela.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Felicia, we'd like to start today. We start our episodes by asking our guest, what was your journey to WordPress?
So that was a long time ago. It's like 10 years ago. So I spent my early 20s promoting independent artists. And I got into doing like music reviews, album reviews. And some of the blogs were like, we're just going to give you access to a WordPress account and just go in there. And I was like, okay. And so I just kind of started doing that. And then I logged into different ones and I was like, oh, these are all different. This is cool. You can just kind of add whatever you want. And then I got inspired to do my own blog. And then it just went from there. Then I started building things for other people, other like independent artists, other just friends, anybody with an idea would build things for them. And then it just kind of goes like that, you know?
What was your formal background before you jumped into like WordPress?
So I've always been kind of a creative person. So all kinds of different art things. I did, I worked for the Getty for a little bit. I worked for like the cities around here in Southern California. So I would work for their Parks and Recreation Department. I've just been all over the place really, as far as, you know, my background in music for a long time. So all kinds of creative things.
Do you play music?
No, I sing.
Oh, you sing. That is an instrument that is also an instrument. It's great.
Yeah, I think it's the hardest to play because if you don't eat right, if you're sick, if you're something, it just sounds all wrong. So you're pretty much a musician 24/7.
Yeah.
Wow. So when you were first starting out in WordPress and you were building all these things for all the creative people, were you charging for that or were you doing that just to share the love?
So in the beginning I was doing it to just share the love. I was just doing it really for the love of the music. And that's, you know, it was a long time ago. Was WordPress was still something new. I don't think nobody was really monetizing that. I didn't know that was a thing. And then, you know, the more I got into it, I was like, this is a whole world. This is, and I think musicians are the first to usually kind of jump into that world and start to monetize it and start to like do their own websites and start to try to build their own audiences and do their own marketing and be a brand. And that was, I think, way before everybody else was doing it. And so that was kind of my introduction to it. And then I was like, I can charge for this. I can help them. And it's a real service. It's something they don't want to do. They just want to make music. So, and I think that for as much as I like singing, I also just really like putting everything together. I like seeing the big picture. I like seeing the whole press kit, the photos, the album art, how the whole thing really translates into a piece of art.
That's awesome. It seems to be almost lost a little bit in the digital era now.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it is lost, but at the same time, you know, we replace like the album art with an Instagram. You know, like, look at like Beyonce's Instagram, that thing is a work of art.
That's, so, you're not wrong.
Album art all the time.
That's true. That's a good
Everything
way of looking
Beyonce
at it.
Beyonce does is a work of art.
It's true.
Well, from reading your bio, it sounds like you have this artistic side, but you also have a very technical side as well. Can you speak about that? How you got involved with the technical pieces of things and how did you learn and what attracted you to be more technical?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think that with the me, I've always been kind of like where people have like their artistic side and like the technical side, it's always been part of the same half. I don't know if that's just kind of the way my mind works, but I've always kind of been driven by the need to create. And as soon as I hit an obstacle, I want to overcome it. So if the obstacle is technical, I'm like, this is part of my vision. I need to get it done so I can get it out of the way. And so a lot of how I got into it was I just had like a vision for something I wanted to produce. And then I usually didn't have access to a developer because, you know, indie musicians or people don't have any funds. So I just had to learn how to do it. And I just do it one Google at a time, you know? And it was with just really simple things and then bigger things. So that's how I learned my Photoshop, was just, how do you open a photo? How do you crop a photo? How do you move a photo? And it was just literally one question at a time. And then now it was the same thing with, once I started doing like CSS and PHP, it was like, how do I add this to my site? How do I, you know, what is this? What is even this language that I need to learn? How do I even ask the question? And then it just went from there over and over. And then before I knew it, I was like, I can see something in my mind's eye and know that I have all the different little tools to bring it to life. And so for me, that's the best.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I mean, I agree. I think it's like, if you think about like a painter and just, or like you have a canvas and you have different tools, you can do like paint, you can do oils, you can do all this other stuff. And it makes a lot of sense to be able to use, I look at it that way too, the technical side of things. And especially as being a creator, whether it be through music or through technology, what are you the most proud of with your, had you have created?
So one of my favorite things that I did was the company I worked for before WPMU Dev. I did this WordPress multi-site and then had an intranet. It also did a lot of the onboarding automatically. So if somebody was new to the company, they just kind of fill out a form and it would create like a BuddyPress profile for them. It would, you know, send them all these, a series of welcome emails. It would, you know, at 90 days, they would get an automatic email with their benefits package. And then we had different branches, so sites for all those different branches. And it was all automated, all brought together, all, you know, branded together with the same themes. The thing was beautiful. But it took years. It took years to build it up that way. But it was also just, it was my baby. I was the only one that was in there. So I had all the different like authors and contributors and everybody, but as far as maintaining it and building it, it was me. So as soon as I would learn something, I would go back and do it. So, you know, before I had 10 sites and then I learned WordPress multi-site and I was like, I can do this in one. Why am I, you know, multiplying my efforts across 10 sites? So then I would bring them all together. And then, you know, once I learned about, you know, how to structure workflows or how to do BuddyPress, I'm like, we can use this. Let me bring it in. And it was just piece by piece that way. And, you know, by the end, I think we had like 100 employees on that thing. Wow. All kinds of, we had like a call center running leads through it, distributing leads through it. We had all the information consolidated for all the different branches. So people would come on, they'd be like, hey, I need this document. Like, it's on the internet. And it was amazing that I did not know WordPress could do something like that. But I just was like, I'm just going to push it as far as it can go. And as soon as I hit a wall, then we'll trade to some kind of enterprise software. And I just never hit that wall.
That's awesome.
It is really. Wow. And did the company fall apart when you left?
I don't know. I tried to quit a couple times. One of the times I tried to quit, they were like, we have to hire 5 people to replace you.
Yeah.
And it was just because I was leveraging WordPress. You know, it would take us 8 hours to onboard a new employee. And I made WordPress be able to do it in 20 minutes. And so that was real labor spread across multiple departments. And, you know, I was like, when I leave, you're going to have to find someone who either knows how to do this the way I did it, or they're going to have to go back to doing it the manual way. And yeah.
Wow. Well, I love all the automation that you put into place, and automation's kind of one of my side hobbies, as I love making things automated. So do you have a favorite automation that you've done or that you use that you think everybody would benefit from hearing about?
So one of my favorite things in WordPress is Gravity Flow. And it's a plugin that you add to Gravity Forms. And it enables you to sort of structure a workflow, but in the way where the next action will not occur until it's triggered. And that can be, you know, you can connect it to like Zapier. So that's how I would do the one for the benefits. After 90 days, it would set off a trigger, and then, you know, Zapier would like send an email. And those two in combination working together, that it changed everything. it allowed all the processes to be really solidified so that, you know, we would have this workflow and it was set in stone. And then every time we would go through it, we're like, well, we're missing this step. Let's add it into the workflow. And then, oh, we're missing this. It would really help if, you know, they had their parking pass the day they started. So let me send out an email the day before to make sure we get their driver's license and their, you know, their plate numbers so we can do that. And so we would just add step by step by step. And it was really great to be able to not only see it, but, you know, when we were like, okay, we need to change this whole thing, it made it much more tangible. So we could see the steps, we could drag and drop them, moving them around. It wasn't like, oh, well, we're going to kind of try to do it like this. It's like, no, give me details, give me the order, show me how it's supposed to be done. And that's when it really would be, it was a really great management tool. I'll never do automation again like that, like where it's kind of just all over the place and you can't really visualize it. To see it is the best.
I feel like automation is also art.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And I'm not an artist, but that's my art form is automation. So that's so awesome to hear about.
Everyone is artistic. Everyone.
Yeah. I think it's like a conductor. Like, you know, you're just the maestro right there. It's a good art form.
You mentioned in your bio about, I mean, in your intake with us that the company that you worked for before WP Immu Dev didn't have women in higher positions. And what was that like? And then how is it different for you at WP Immu Dev? We love WP Immu Dev and we'd love to hear more about the inside.
I love them too. They're the best. It was a really competitive environment before. And it was very like, everybody was their own little island trying to kind of battle it out against everybody else. And now it's way different. I'm like, oh, I'm part of a team and everybody's competent. I don't have to do everything for everybody and be all things to all people. So that was a huge thing, because with the problem before was that, I don't know if it was like out of just nobody had time to do anything, supposedly. So it was like, if an email had to be sent out, if, you know, we had to send out text messages or any kind of marketing or make changes to the site, or nobody was like, I don't have time to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. You know, because for me, everything, if it was a learning opportunity, I would do it. And I think that's how you become, that's how you really gain influence. And, you know, the more you learn, then people can't do anything without you. And then you get to say how it's done. And that's, I think, how, even though I felt like the only one, I had a lot of power. I was where everything converged. You know, they couldn't get anything done without me past a certain point. Because when it was time to like, hey, we need to get this program to talk to this program, it's like, well, I'm the only one here who knows how to use an API. So bring it to me. But I'm not going to use that program because that sucks. So I'm going to do what I say. And then I would just do it that way. And it was just a great way to get that power and kind of gain that ability to make things happen versus just being kind of like, oh, well, you don't know anything. So I really do. And I can really actually make this work for you.
But now at WP Immu Dev, you have more people like you. So what's that like? Is that more exciting? More energizing?
It is. So I was always used to kind of figuring things out on my own. And now it's great to be able to learn from people. You know, it's like, hey, I have a question. How do you do this? And, you know, they'll teach me, though. It's a lot more open. Even though we're all distributed, it feels a lot closer, which is really nice. You know, and there's not that kind of animosity. There's not that kind of like, you know, us against them. It's all of us together. And I think that's also why we can produce really great things. It all comes from this place of like cooperation, of like a sort of improvisation where you're like, and, you know, you're adding on whatever somebody else is doing. Here, let me add this to whatever you're doing. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. So that's a whole different approach. And I much prefer it.
And how many people are there at your company?
At WP Immu Dev, I think there's 100. But it's hard to tell because they're everywhere.
And what do you feel? Do you have any idea of what the men-women ratio is?
I don't.
Okay. I just wondered, working in you know, at least for the rest of us, we're all kind of on our own or small agencies. So we don't have, but I've never worked in a full WordPress like company that's got a lot of people. And I wondered what the breakdown is. If there are there a lot of women that work there?
That I don't know, because I've only kind of stuck to my corner. So I haven't ventured out into all the different Slack channels.
Okay.
There's a lot of them and there's a lot going on. But there I think what matters most is sort of the approach to it. It's like you can feel it. You know, I know that I can go in there and no one's gonna be like, what are you doing here? Versus, you know, and that can happen whether there's a lot of women or not that many. Because if the other women are shutting you out too because of that culture, then the more women doesn't help you. So, but yeah, I've never felt like, it's a very different feeling now compared to how it was before. I always felt kind of like on the outside looking in. I can't really say what I want to say. I can't reveal my whole self because that could just be one more thing used against me. And now I feel like everybody is just so open, so themselves, so they invite me to be myself, and that's a really nice feeling to not have to minimize or conceal what I am or who I am, or like, oh yeah, I'm a woman, hey. But I'll play like the boys, you know. I can just be like, I don't have to be anything. I can just be.
I think that's something we've noticed and we've mentioned before, is how welcoming and open WordPress community has been to women and for us and women in tech. And we feel like, or at least I have felt like, it's been a little different than maybe other sectors of technology. Mm-hmm. So it's great to hear that it's similar for you and your company.
It is. And that's one thing I love about WordPress too. I feel like it's a more even playing field.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day when, you know, people are asking us about this podcast. Why are we doing this? I think it's not just because we feel in some ways that women might not be recognized in WordPress. I think it's maybe the opposite, is that women in tech in general represent like 17% in tech. And maybe WordPress is one of those places where there is a safe environment for women to maybe get into tech. And if we could highlight the women doing things in the WordPress space, maybe that we could be an influence for other areas that don't have as many women and aren't as welcoming. There's something that maybe the whole field could learn from WordPress and the WordPress community in that way.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of like that kind of entry level type stuff. So one of the things that, especially because, you know, being in like the minority in tech, and especially when it comes to development and technical things and learning that stuff, I noticed when I was teaching myself this stuff that all of the documentation was written for people that already had a background in the stuff that they were teaching. And so they skipped a bunch of steps, and it felt like it was either talking down to me or talking over my head. And I took a look at some of your writing and like the GitHub article and stuff, because I still struggle with that. I've been doing this for years and I still have to Google, like, how do I revert? Like, how do I do this? And I was reading through that article and I was like, this is the kind of documentation stuff that I needed when I was learning this. And so like, what is your process for being able to like take something very complex and then make it palatable for anyone that is new to this?
That took a little bit, because I think that I would also read the documentation. I'm like, I have no idea what this says. And you know, they would use like analogies. They're like making references to things. I'm like, I've never seen that movie. I don't know what that is. And it would just be more confusing. They're making references to video games. And I'm like, man. So I really wanted to write something like as neutral as possible. And then, you know, with WPM UDev, I have to consider too that people all over the world are reading this. I can't just make American references. You know, I want to be as inclusive as possible in the writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I get it wrong. So I think the WIP newsletter that we do, I sent it out last week for the first time and I misspelled Fortnite. I wrote it like day and night, you know, night, not N-I-T. You know, I was like, oh, I'm old. And then, you know, the other day I was in a board meeting for like a local community organization, and I made like a Derek Zoolander reference, and everyone looked at me like, you're an idiot. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to make a reference to an idiot. But, you know, I just think that I try to remain as conscious as possible now of, you know, who am I really speaking to, who's on the other side, and how to, you know, choose language that is inclusive for everybody, not just something that some people are going to get, something that somebody else is going to get. You need a certain kind of, you know, approach, because I think that not everybody has certain privileges, you know? Mm-hmm. So not everybody went to school for 4 years, and some people think differently for whatever reason. And I think WordPress being sort of this inclusive community, we have to write the tutorials that go with it. You know, these people, a lot of people don't have CS degrees, but these are things that they need to learn. They want to learn, they try to learn, and they're just like, I try to learn Git 10 times or something like that. And I was like, how can I write this for me, for someone like me who wants to and has been trying and it's just not getting it? And so that one did take me a while. I think it took me like 4 rewrites on that one to really feel like, oh, okay, now I know how to do it.
I do. I have a blog, so I write, and I find that I spend hours and hours if I want to write a good thorough tutorial. Mm-hmm. And then of course the Yoast tool tells me my sentences are, you know, incomprehensible. So I have to go back and like, okay, my sentences are kind of compound and long, and I have to break it up and make simpler sentences. What's your writing process like in terms of, does it take you a long time to write things? And do you feel like it's worth really taking that time and making the article a little bit longer rather than just generating content for the sake of generating content?
Yeah. So part of the reason I took this gig is because writing was really hard for me, and it still kind of is. I think I work really well with visuals, but to be able to communicate something, because, you know, like how I said earlier, I see something in my mind's eye, and then I can create it based on what I see. With words, you can't do that. You have to sort of lay out the thoughts and organize them. And it was really something that I wanted to work on. I'm like, I don't want to be afraid of putting out what I really think and expressing it the way I really want to say it. So this is something I want to work on. But with that said, it's also very scary once you start doing it. Once you're sitting there trying to write it, knowing that you're kind of facing this thing down, and it's in the beginning, it was very terrifying. Just sitting there staring at this blank page. I'm like, I'm going to try to write this thing, and I'm going to probably have to write it a lot. And I would write it 4 or 5 times. You know, some things I still hated, but I'm like, you know what? I have to do it. I have to put it out there. And it's only in the last couple months that I feel like I can think that way now. I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I thought that it would take a lot longer. I thought it was just something I was always going to have to deal with. But now I can, and you know, there's still some uncertainty, but now there's a lot more, I have a lot more faith that I can see it through to the end. Versus before, there was a lot of, I would have a lot of my little personal blogs and things that I would do that I would write, and then I would just abandon because I couldn't go through the process. Or I would write something and I was like, oh, that sucks. Let me just delete it off the internet forever. But, you know, all those things that helped me to get here. But yeah, as far as the process goes, I think the process, even for me, that I write, that's all I do now. And it's still hard. It's never just, I see it perfectly and I just write it out and then it just, you know, hey, it takes a lot.
And do you do a lot of proofreading and revisions, or are you just the, you know, push it out kind of girl?
It depends. It depends on the topic. Sorry. So some topics are very, I kind of just push through it. And then some things, when there's a lot of research to be done, I think there has to be a lot of revisions because it feels like you're kind of trudging through mud. You have to, like, you write something, you're like, is that really true? You know, did I just, is that something that I assumed? Or where did I hear that? Did I hear that from somebody who's actually reputable? And then you go back and you check. But, you know, the more you start to kind of like get, but then you get bogged down, the more you're like, where did I come up with that? Why is that a thing? You know, with the Git one, I was like, where did I learn some of these things? In what tutorial? And I would just, you know, you break it down, go through it. You're like, oh, that's wrong. That's probably wrong. Is this wrong? And yeah, it just takes a lot.
I can imagine writing about it. Well, because even just like I taught every so often, I'll teach at the college level. Every time I get asked at my alma mater, and like I've been doing this stuff for so long, and then like teaching it and writing about it is the best way to second guess what you know. Like,
yeah, it really is. And I think now that everything moves so fast, I'm like, yeah. What I knew is. That was 2 years ago, but it's done. It's yeah. There's something totally, you know, when I did that Git post, like the week after, they were like, oh, we have free repositories now, private ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, give me a week.
Yep. I've had that. We're like, oh, that program or that doesn't even exist anymore. I've actually literally had a scheduled to teach a client about like Google Analytics, and then Google changed something overnight, and it started up the meeting, and I was like, and then you click, never mind, that moved. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's really tough for me too, because I teach a lot of classes, and you know, if you teach a software program, like if you do the Adobe Creative Suite, it doesn't change so dramatically. It's like maybe every 18 months or something, but in our space, it's changing constantly, and overnight, and especially with the Google products, it's like I'll go, wait, I just looked at that like yesterday, and I go into a class the next day and it's changed. Do you find that you're having to go back and rewrite some things to correct things? Is that part of the process that you have?
It is. It's a lot. I mean, even this podcast, we did a post on podcasts, and then, you know, we knew that you were going to put out an episode. I was just watching it. You know, I was watching Twitter. I'm like, one day it's going to come out. And then when I did, I was like, okay, let me put it on the list. And, you know, we got to make sure we stay up to date. We're putting out good information, because I think that there's a lot of people putting out so much information. But then once you start kind of trying to find a real answer, then you're, you know, searching, looking, qualifying it, trying to see if it's reputable versus trying to make something really of high quality. It takes longer on my side. But I think it saves everybody else time. And so that's worth it.
How much now, you said you do like pretty much just writing now, but do you still get to create in like music and in dev and design, all that stuff? Do you still get to do any of that stuff?
The music thing is my one true love. And I think that with that, I'm just selfish. I like to sing when I'm happy, when I'm home, when I'm doing things, you know, when I have my little victories. When I'm cleaning the house, when I'm cooking. And I think that that's enough. It's enough to just have my joy for myself. But as far as what I create right now, this is the thing. This is the thing I'm obsessed with. And so I just like to give it, I like to give it all that creative energy. So, and you know, it needs it right now because it's still kind of hard for me. And so the writing is still, it's not automatic. And it probably never will be, but that's fine.
Automatic
with
right
two T's. Yeah, we do a lot of puns at WPM UW, so.
All right, well, I fit right in.
Yeah.
So how much content are you producing, like on a daily or weekly basis?
It's like an article and a half a week. So we also have to go back and do previous things. They're still like responding to comments. We have, and then right now too, we're kind of restructuring the way that we put out content so that we can do it better. So we can, you know, get really focused as far as people want, because we don't want to just pump it out to pump it out. Like what is it? You know, we go into the forums and see what are people really asking for? What do they want? And then we do our writing based on that.
Nice. How do you choose what you write about? Is it just going through, like, do you choose it yourself, or is it something that a committee or whatever is chosen as a group?
We do several things. Sometimes we, you know, I choose it. Sometimes we choose it. Sometimes we're like, hey, this is coming up over and over again. We need to really do something about this. It really depends. We're working on sort of creating a formal process so that we can kind of do this faster. We can do high quality faster, because right now we are still, we're looking at how to produce kind of longer articles, but how to do them efficiently, because they take a lot of time.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think that get one was like 3,000 words. So it's like, yeah, it's an article a week or an article and a half, but that's, you know, 5 posts on another blog.
Yeah. You're up to a novel pretty quick. Oh,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I try to get out 1,000 words on a blog post on a routine basis, but 30,000 words, that's something different altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the longer posts, like my longer posts are definitely, you know, 3,000-4,000 or so words. And I think that the longer, it's going to have better SEO. It's just going to be, it's going to rank better because it's going to look a little bit more authoritative. So is that something you're considering too, that maybe long, it's going to take us more time, but it might give us more bang for the buck in the long run?
Yes. And I also try to look kind of for density, because I notice that some posts are really long, but they're really conversational. They just want to talk. I'm like, I don't want to talk. I need to know facts. Mm-hmm. Tell me how to do the thing I want to do, mm-hmm. you know? And so I don't think that rambling and sort of filling the words is the way either. I try to sort of, when I write like a guide, I try to see what is everybody else kind of doing in that space? What is like the average? And is it because they're trying to cut it down to fit because it's too long? Or is it because, you know, they're trying to cover like this big topic? You know, because I've seen guides for 20,000 words and I can never compete with that. But is that because they're just trying to be the number one and fill it out as much as possible? You know, and then, yeah, they repeat information. They sort of get all these blog posts and condense them into one post. And, you know, but you can beat them with a good, high quality, dense article that really just hits the points sometimes.
And especially if you actually can help people and it gets shared a lot. Like there's some articles like to this day that as soon as I start typing in my address, like the search bar, it shows those articles. Like I refer to them constantly. Yeah. Like that stuff is really useful for so many people. It affects so many people's ability to create just like we do.
Yeah, it definitely does.
One of the things I do in my blog post is I try to answer questions that people are asking me, my clients are asking me. And so I find myself now when somebody else asks me the same question, I can just pull up my blog post that I wrote and send them a link. And I'm saving myself time by having that answer pre-written.
Yes. That's an excellent use of a blog post.
So it's not just, you know, spit out information, but to mainly my clients or people that might be my clients do something that they maybe didn't know how to do.
Yeah. You know, and like for that intranet that I built for that other company, like I had to answer the same 5 questions over and over and over. So to just put them all in the post, be like, I'm going to automate it so that you get this on your first day. And then, yeah, never had to answer that question again.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yes. Right? The power of automation, the art.
Off the topic of technical, tell us about Los Angeles and sustainability. And we're seeing that all over the country and even in our area in the Front Range of Colorado. And so it's a personal passion project of mine too. And I'm curious if you're able to speak briefly to that.
Yeah, I love the outdoors. So we grew up RVing, but now we just go camping, you know, and I've climbed sand dunes. We've like backpacked in the Grand Canyon. We've like done camping in the forest. It is so beautiful to me. And I've never more like at peace and just in awe of everything than when I'm outside. And so to me, to see what happens when it's damaged, it just breaks me. It breaks my heart. You know, when you go to the beach and there's plastic everywhere. I'm like, when I was a kid, it wasn't like this, you know, and to see it now, I'm like, we have to do something. This is bad. So that's something that some of my husband, we moved into this 100-year-old cottage, and this whole little house has one closet for, and it has two bedrooms, one closet. And so we had to kind of rethink the way we did everything, because it's not really conducive to a modern lifestyle. And so we started doing things differently because of the house, but then it kind of took on a life of its own. So one of my things was, I started getting into zero waste, which is super ambitious, and it takes some planning. But once we started doing it, we're like, hey, we're not a Target every week, and we have a lot more time to go hiking, to go camping, to do all the stuff that we wanted to do, and we're not just buying stuff. So, and the more we started doing it, the more we just kind of, you know, we just kind of got happier in a way. So like, I don't watch TV anymore, but that was not my intention. It was just because we started spending so much time outside and so much time with our friends, you know, with our, in our community, volunteering, doing things, that I just forgot what nights things were on. And then before you knew it, I was like, people ask me, well, what are you watching on Netflix? I was like, I've had Netflix in 8 months. So
wow,
nothing. But it was never my intention to be this way. It was just kind of, you start doing it, and the more you do it, the more you're like, this kind of works better. I'm entertained in my day to day. I don't really need to sit there and be entertained. So it's just
really fabulous in Los Angeles. I grew up in Los Angeles too. And it's like, wow, she's living this whole other lifestyle in LA. It's awesome. It's inspiring.
It is. What part of LA did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Santa Monica, but then we lived mostly in the San Fernando Valley and all over the place, Burbank, Granada Hills. I lived some time in Moore Park, and I've just been kind of all over that area. I have family who lives in Valencia now, and so, and Calabasas. And so, yeah, that whole area of
it's big.
It's big. There's a lot of traffic, and I don't go visit because I can't handle it.
So I grew up kind of by Long Beach, and now I live in Orange County, and there's a lot less traffic in Orange County. That's why I had to move. I was like, I'm done with this. But that's what I love about like WPMU Dep, because I get to work from home. So no more traffic.
No commute.
I'm done with that life. I'm done with the hour and a half commute both ways life.
I'd like to thank you for being our guest today. It was really interesting talking to you. And if you want to take a minute and tell us where everybody can find you online.
So you can find me at Green Cottage Joy, and that's where I blog about sustainability, making soap, and, you know, just kind of being a little weirdo going against the Los Angeles grain. I also, you know, of course, write for WPMU Dev, the blog. So you can check out my WordPress tutorials and everything there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on today.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great time.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.